Today on Analog Out, we've got a Child's Play movie review. We've got some news on the Animal Crossing delay and why Nintendo did it. We've got an update on some Sega Genesis / Sega CD flash cart news. It's pretty interesting. And yeah, Bowman's looking for more topics right now, so tune in. Someone's coming in. There's a creaky door. All right.
Hey!
We got a special guest here. let me set you up. Hey, everybody. Welcome back for another exciting, fun-filled episode of Analog Out.
I think you scare people with your intro sometimes,
yeah, that's
man.
That's okay. Really?
Hey, everybody!
You think so?
Maybe. I don't know.
Think people are being scared off by it?
Who knows?
My name's Pat. I'm here with my co-host, Bowman.
Hey.
And we got a special guest. Our buddy Mike just showed up unexpectedly.
Howdy.
How's everybody doing?
Just dandy.
Mm.
Just got out of a really cool movie.
Oh, yeah. You want to start with that or you want to end with that?
I don't know.
I'll end with that.
We can get into it later.
Yeah, so right off the bat, we were just talking about this right before we came in here, and it was the announcement by Nintendo of the reason why they delayed Animal Crossing. Why don't you give us a recap, Bowman?
I mean, there's not much to say about it. They just placed basically a statement out that I haven't seen the article in a little bit here. What was
the statement was like we didn't want to overwork our employees, so we had to delay it.
I saw this article too.
It's
when City of America President Bowser said the new Animal Crossing has been delayed until March 2020, despite the company telling investors that it'll launch in 2019. For one of us, our key tenets is that we bring smiles to people's faces and we talk about it all the time. That applies to our own employees as well. We need to make sure that our employees have good work-life balance. So, I mean, it's an interview that was held with IGN with Doug Bowser of Nintendo of America. Nintendo of America.
Yeah.
Who doesn't make these games.
Right, exactly. And I'm sure he has no interest or involvement whatsoever on what the working conditions are like over in Kyoto. So, basically, the reason why I wanted to bring it up is because it's kind of funny, because this is very much like a now issue.
I think it's a little fishy.
Yeah.
It stinks of kind of trying to rub the press the right way. Like,
oh, not even the press.
We're
it's
delayed,
the people.
But it's because of this
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden issue that's being brought to the forefront about gaming workers.
It's the equivalent of like my landlord's like, you got that rent? I'm like, I just donated all of it to poor people. Like,
I mean, to be fair,
not to say that it isn't true.
Yeah, it's an issue in the game industry for sure.
It was very much a softball answer to a softball question. I'm sure they didn't press him on it because it's been an issue in the news for like the last year or two, especially where all of a sudden people are so concerned about the working conditions of developers, and it pretty much goes against what we've always heard about Nintendo. And this is what I was talking about earlier, was they have their own term for when you're expected to work basically all night long, and it's Mario time. Yeah, it's an actual story that came out a while back that was like Miyamoto will come into the development office and just be like, all right, guys, it's Mario time. And that's like their subtle Japanese way of being like, all right, guys, you're expected to like not even go home tonight. You're working like 24 hours today.
I expect a company as creative as them to come up with something with a little more zing.
Yeah, I don't know. But it
has a nice subtle vagueness to it, you know.
Mm. I guess it came about because usually their worst crunch times are when they have to get a Mario game out. But I don't know, it seems kind of bullshit.
Well, I guess the Twitter reaction was very like applauding that article and
everything. That's just it,
it's just everybody ate it up. I mean,
I saw it on multiple, like, not media press, but like fans and stuff were like, well, I mean, if it's for the good of the workers, then, and it's like, it was a perfect response for them.
Yeah,
it happened.
It seems very calculated,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
smartly done. What can you say?
Well, I mean, because it's a, multi-billion-dollar company, if it was really that big of an issue, hire some more developers. If you want, if you really cared about staying on the track to for the release.
For me, game delays are inevitable. I don't get as mad about them, but
I don't care as much.
Just the statement was just kind of silly.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about this before, where I have so many games to play that it just doesn't even affect me.
Yeah. It's reached such like a non-issue in my life, and that so few games are coming out that like blow me away nowadays. Mm-hmm. That's sure. Take your time. Like, give me something that's gonna really impress me, because I'm not like, you know, chomping at the bit every week for another game.
The way I think about it is that at the end of this year, there's like 10 games that I'm interested in. You know, I don't. It's not going to end my life if I have to wait a little bit for another one. In fact, it's such a problem that I don't even know where to begin a lot of times with the games that I have piled up. So
I'm playing Persona 5, which came out 2 years ago.
Yeah,
I was playing Resident Evil 2 recently.
Yeah,
and the only thing I'm probably looking forward to is Death Stranding.
Doom.
Oh yeah,
Doom Eternal, man, looks so good.
Yeah, that's one of the main ones that I was thinking about. But that's only going to take me a couple days.
I was thinking PS4, and I'll play that on my PC for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know though, because your PC is I think even older than mine, and I was playing Doom 2016 recently, and it was like chugging. Like, that game is really
It ran beautifully on my computer, man. I never got below 60.
You know, it did for me too when I first played it, but I was playing it in 4K HDR, and it was like, yeah, it was not running smoothly at all.
Yeah, I'm fine with 1080 if it'll get me a better frame rate.
Yeah. Yeah, so
ran great in my Switch.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I mean, yeah, running at 540p or whatever, but
yeah, it ran. Did its thing. Played it at the bar. It was fun. That's why I got it, because I just wanted like a big, powerful game to have on the go. But
yeah,
Doom Eternal, we've already gone over this, but I'm definitely getting the PS4 version this time around.
Yeah. Something that I wanted to bring up, and it's actually perfect that Mike's here, because we've talked about his interests in eventually like wanting some sort of form of arcade machine or something eventually at his house. We didn't talk about
have
this.
Have we?
Yeah. We have.
We talked about building a geometry cabinet somehow.
Well, I mean, it just, I guess this, you kind of, your opinion would kind of be ideal on this, because you are whatever about it, but we didn't talk about this after E3, but something that they announced was really cool was the Arcade 1-Up is releasing more arcade machines, and they're getting really crazy now.
Yeah.
At first, it was like Pac-Man and Galaga, and then there was like one with like Missile Command
the
and stuff.
It was
like old like 70s and 80s arcade games, but the new ones that they've announced are, they're coming out with the Ninja Turtles cabinet
complete with all four players.
It's a four-player cabinet, and it has Turtles, the arcade game, and then Turtles in Time on it. And it's modeled after the Turtles arcade game, which is really nice. And it's the first four-player cabinet they've done. And then the big one that they announced, I don't know if you saw this or not, it was it's a Star Wars cabinet. And it's got it's the old 80s Star Wars games, and it's the Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. And the big thing about it is that it has the original Yoke controller for it. So it's like a stand-up cabinet. I don't know. Have you ever played
the vector-based stuff?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
First one is vector-based, and then after that, I think the second one is too, but the third one is Return of the Jedi. It's like you start on a speeder bike. And you have to steer the speeder bike.
Do they all use the same controller?
Yes.
Yeah?
They were all like add-ons to the original.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah. So they use the same controller, and I thought that was pretty cool. And it's also a huge license for them to get. And then there's another one that's a Capcom fighting game cabinet. I forget the exact games that it has on it, but it had a lot. It was like Capcom versus or it was like no, it was a Marvel cabinet. So it was like Marvel superheroes, the Punisher beat him up, and another the X-Men Children of the Atom. So the Marvel superheroes and X-Men are like fighting games. They were basically the precursors to Marvel vs. Capcom. So that's pretty neat too. And then they also have two cocktail tables, which are the first cocktail ones they're doing. And those are like full-size cocktail tables with like 12 games built into them. There's a Street Fighter one that has, you know, all the different...
Relatively affordable, it looks like, too.
They are. They're, the Turtles one, I think, is $350. And then the Star Wars one, I think, is $399. But that's what they were when they first came out, too, for the other ones. And they were all... You could get them online for like $100 cheaper than retail. So... I don't know. It seems like something you might be interested in. You have turtles in time and stuff. The reason at that price point, it's pretty.
It's a no-brainer if you're into that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You've got the money to spend. I'm not so sure I'd be good with the cocktail table. I've always found those have like a weird viewing angle that you have to kind of struggle with,
mm-hmm.
or like it's always like at the wrong elevation and you got to like kind of hunch over it in a strange way. Maybe those issues have been ironed out. Like. If you've got players on each side of the table and two separate screens that are angled, I could see that working.
Yeah.
I like cocktail tables. It's just they only work for a very specific certain amount of games.
Well, what's cool for this one, it's funny you mentioned that, actually. What's cool for this one is they actually found – they've made it so two people can play across from each other, like with the fighting games and stuff. And it's if you're playing two-player, it splits the screen.
That's cool.
So
– yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right. It's usually weird. The reason I brought you up is because you don't have like a ton of space in your house, but also you really, if I remember correctly, you really love the Turtles arcade games, and like you have enough space for like something like this, where it's a small 3/4 size.
I play more of X-Men than Turtles, but yeah, any of those old like 4-player beat 'em ups, The Simpsons, totally love that.
Yeah. And also, I imagine there's pretty simple ways of, like, modding these things, too.
I'm always just curious about how the quality is of, like, the joysticks and stuff.
I've always heard that for the basic joystick and buttons, I've always heard that they're really good quality.
Yeah.
I've never heard any complaints. The only times I've ever heard a complaint is they have a dial for, what's that? Tempest. They have a Tempest, and they have... I think they have another game that uses the dial, and also I think the trackball one.
Like for Centipede?
Do Asteroids use a dial?
No, I don't think so. But yeah, so I've heard complaints about specifically the dial. I've heard a lot of complaints about it. And then also, I've also heard some complaints that the trackball kind of sucks. But all the like basic joystick stuff and buttons, I've heard nothing but good things about it. And also, the dial... was actually like a manufacturing problem. Like they were like aware of it and they were working on a fix and we'll send you a replacement part or whatever. So this stuff for anyone that doesn't know, it comes disassembled. That's why it's so cheap. It comes in the box all disassembled and it's essentially like on the level of skill of like a piece of IKEA furniture. So you get the instructions, you put it together, it comes with a, you know, LCD monitor in there and you put it all together. It's whatever. So, this company at first, when we first reported on this company, it was just kind of like, yeah, it's interesting. But now they're getting really crazy with some of this stuff.
I'm surprised they're, because like we, as you said, we would see them like lower in price. I'm surprised they're successful enough to keep making these things.
That's what I thought. I thought this company wouldn't, I thought they'd be a flash in the pan.
Yeah. I saw some cool ones. I mean, their Rampage one was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And what's cool about them is that they always like look like the original machines.
Right.
Like all the art and everything's intact.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what sets them apart from like the like 10, 15 years ago. Remember, we just had like the multiplayer like crappy arcade machines, and they were so expensive and so crappy looking.
Right, and that's funny you mentioned that because that actually brings me into my next point, which is At Games now.
Ah, well,
the classic maker of At Games of the Genesis At Games thing that was garbage, and also the Atari Flashback systems and stuff. They are making a arcade machine with like. Hundreds of games in it or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to definitely buy into the
They'll try to get it at a slightly arcade cheaper point than the arcade one up, and then
I think it's more expensive, but I think it's a full size arcade machine, or if not, it's like it's weird. It like connects to the internet, and you can like download more games or something. I don't know. I don't trust anything for Mac games. No. So, but yeah, I thought that was worth mentioning. So.
You always transition it that way. So let's see. Hold on. I totally got it. It's coming. It's here. So there was like a teaser image recently for a possible Ape Escape.
Oh yeah, I heard about this.
Did you see this?
I didn't see the trailer or the news article, but I did see the title of it. And I do love me some Ape Escape.
So what do you think? And you think it could be?
I would like a Ape Escape trilogy type thing.
I think that's what everybody wants. Here's the picture right here.
Ape Escape VR might be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually
would be cool.
Yeah. You use the Move controller.
I remember it was one of the first games that they were like showing off the twin sticks with.
Yeah.
And like having the demo set up at Target. I was like, yeah, this is kind of cool.
I think it was the very first game that required the DualShock.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Austin had it, and that's how I played it at first, and I loved it. It was really cool. It's still fun to this day. I'm a big Ape Escape freak.
No, they haven't announced anything yet. It's just about the 20th anniversary is coming up.
Well, I mean, you don't post a random teaser photo on Twitter and not have something in the works. So
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that. Like, the anniversary is tomorrow, or I guess technically today in Japan. So
it might be getting some news in the next few hours. Then.
I think so.
Yeah.
So
I would love a Crash trilogy type deal, but with Ape Escape.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems the more likely, but we could also get duped and it's a mobile game.
Right. Well, on other new game news, I guess I'll go into just only because it's topical. I recently picked up Bloodstained, and it's. So for those who don't know, it's from the maker, the director of the old Castlevania games. And it's made to be like Symphony of the Night, essentially. And it was a Kickstarter project that was backed, broke records when it was backed. And essentially, it was the same old song and dance, the exact same situation as with Mighty No. 9, where the director was tired of dealing with Konami's bullshit, quit, went off to make his own game. And we recently learned through one of our YouTube channels that we like, Stop Skeletons from Fighting, basically the background of the game and all the development issues it went through. It took 5 years to make. It was delayed by a year or two, and it had went through five different companies, hands-on, dealing with the graphics. They changed... We talked about it a few weeks ago. I think they changed the art style completely because people complained about it, which is cool. I mean, it wasn't good before. It didn't look good. And I just mostly wanted to bring it up because, I'm playing it, and it is good from the little bit. I played maybe like an hour of it. And it according to the save file, I'm 3% through. And,
Lord.
And it was... It was good. It was very much like Symphony of the Night. It felt good. But the main thing was it just got a ton of issues already, bugs. And I was keeping Bowman updated when I was putting it in because it was like late at night. It was like 1 in the morning. So it was close to me going to bed. I said, let me just pop this in and
like an 8 gigabyte
see
patch.
How it is. And it wasn't even a patch. And so I pop it in. And it's like an indie game. It's a 2D indie game. So I'm like, all right, I got the disc here. I'm sure just pop it in and it goes. And I put it in and it's like, you have 25 minutes until the installation is done. I'm like, great. So it installs and then it like patches a bunch. And one of my favorite YouTube channels is GameSack. And they tweeted a few days ago that they had like a partnership with them for Bloodstained, and then if you put in one of their like joke catchphrases from the show, which is that they, whenever they talk about Sega stuff, he always brings up the like megs on the cart because that was like a big selling point, and he'll always just be like, eight mega power.
That was terrible.
and he'll always just talk about how many megs the cart is, the game. And so if you put in as your name 8 mega power, you get this sword that the blade is the Sega power strip, you know, the special one they made in the 90s. And then on the power strip, it says GameSack, which is the name of the channel. So I go to put that in. And mind you, like I said, it was installed. It had all these patches and stuff. So I go to put it in. Doesn't work. Tried it again. Didn't work. So I go back to the Twitter thread to read through it. And the more digging I did, basically I found out that all these new patches that were installed when the game came out broke the game in a lot of different ways, including that no longer works, but also all the chests that have items in them that require you to progress are opened already, so you can't get the items. So it's literally just like a game breaking bug. So now I'm required to go delete the game fully off of my hard drive on the PS4 and then put the disc in again, let it install, but then prevent it from downloading any of the patches in order to play this game.
It'd be too much trouble for me.
I mean, I bought the game and I want to play it.
Yeah. Apparently it's really good.
Yeah, except for these issues. And I don't even understand how that gets past like testing when it's something as basic as all the chests that have required items in them are broken. How does that get past them? I don't know.
Well, they look to fix a specific issue that's become aware to them. That just breaks others, yeah. And they don't take the time to do solid testing on the change. I would assume. I don't know how it works in practice, but...
So,
one step forward, two steps back.
Little tale of modern gaming for you. And then just a, like... I don't know. Oh yeah, and also I was gonna get it on Switch originally, and found out that the absolute best that the Switch version gets is when it's docked, it gets 720p at 30 frames a second or whatever. And mind you, this is an indie game. It's a 2D game. It's not intensive like Doom or something. So at best, when it's docked, it gets 720p at 30 frames a second. Probably a lot worse when it's not docked. So I ended up canceling my pre-order and getting on PS4 because it's 4K 60. So,
yeah, my original Xbox put out those numbers.
Yeah, exactly, and it was, and also it was like almost $10 cheaper to get it on PS4. So, yeah, just another tale from modern games.
Yeah, you know,
too much reliance on like, oh, we'll patch it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like,
nothing comes.
By the time it releases, we'll come up with a solution, mm-hmm. and it'll be patched.
Well, it sounds like the game was like not that bad when it was first released, and then the patches.
I don't know. I never played that version. I don't know. I've never played that game.
I mean, I watched like multiple reviews of it, and I didn't see anybody like complain about it overly at all.
I haven't seen any reviews. What are they saying?
Said it's great, and okay. then there's a lot of people expected it to have like Mighty Number 9. Everyone's looking at it from Mighty Number 9 scope because mm-hmm. that game failed massively, and. Yeah, everyone was just like, yeah, there's a few bugs in here and there, but like the game overall is great.
Yeah.
Needed more Mario time.
Yeah, apparently so.
Because that's one thing, you can't ever fault Nintendo.
Oh yeah, when their games come out, I don't ever in my life remember getting a Nintendo-developed game that was like fucked up.
No, I like.
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
Glitch off the top of my head.
Right, so... All right, well, this is something else that I was interested in personally, and if you're a retro gamer out there, you'd probably care too. The creators of the Neo SD for the Neo Geo, and also they have a
CD system.
Yeah, TurboGrafx CD System 3 add-on as well. They just came out with It's called the Mega SD, and it's a flash cart for the Genesis, the 32X, and this is the big thing, is the Sega CD. And what it is it's a, the cartridge itself is a FPGA board, which is a field programmable gate array. We've talked about it before on the show, but it's essentially, it's hardware emulation, it's not software emulation, so they program the chips to work exactly like the original chips. And what this cartridge is basically a Sega CD board on this, in this cartridge. And what it allows you to do is put Sega CD games and 32X and Genesis games. But the big thing is the Sega CD games allows you to put them on an SD card into this cartridge and put it into the system. And because the system and the board in the cartridge thinks that it's a Sega CD, you don't actually need to have the Sega CD hardware to play it, which means you can play this. You could put this cartridge, you can play it on like a Sega Nomad or a Sega Genesis by itself, or even a analog SG Mini. And that's pretty big deal, honestly.
It's really cool.
Yeah, really neat.
There's a lot of great games out there I can think of that I want to play on that.
Right. And right off the bat, we were talking about it earlier, but like Snatcher is a game that I'm really interested in.
It's putting a that on Nomad would be so ridiculous.
I know. It's a $500 game. This flash cartridge is $240 or whatever. But it basically allows you to play the entire Sega CD library without the need for the Sega CD, which any old 90s CD hardware, they're infamous for failing. Yeah, you know, they fall apart. You need to replace the laser. You got to replace the belts. You got to replace the capacitors. They suck. Not to mention the fact that it's slow. The CD technology is old. It's running at 1X or 2X. And the games are expensive.
Well, let's just not forget, like, all these games are going to start disc rotting eventually. Mm-hmm. So the more we can get hardware that plays like the original hardware for disc-based systems, the better.
Yeah. So the big thing for me, I didn't even know this type of thing was possible. Kind of blew my mind when I saw it, you know, saw Sega Nomad in the video playing Sonic CD was insane. And so the idea of having, because this isn't any different really than having a Sega CD. That's the big thing. Anyone can emulate stuff, but the big feat here is that they put a FPGA board into the cartridge, and they're using hardware emulation. So you basically have the chips from the Sega CD in this cartridge. Pretty crazy.
Put your Genesis on a diet.
Yeah, exactly.
Get rid of all that extra crap.
Yeah. And also, here's the thing, though. It does not work on the Sega. It doesn't work in an all-in-one system. So it doesn't work on the CDX, and it doesn't work on the Wonder Mega / JVC XI. Which no one has and has heard of anyway, so whatever. But yeah. So, I mean, if you have an XI or a CDX, it's a $300 console, go buy yourself a $30 Genesis.
Yeah, that's exactly what's in my head. Like, yeah. The people who own that aren't going to consider that an issue.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like me. I have I have a CDX, but I also probably have at least two or three Genesis laying around.
I've owned like five or six Genesis at one point. Yeah. Like, they're so cheap.
Yep. So that was cool. All right, moving on. I read this today or in the last couple of days, and somewhat topical to what we're going to talk about later with the old Child's Play review. So I just wanted to point out that Halloween 2 is officially in development. It's underway.
Good.
Yeah. You excited, man?
Whatever. I mean, I like the movie we just saw. I mean, rather not
Child's Play,
not Child's Play. I'm sorry, the previous one. So, whatever. I mean, it's not unexpected.
I wasn't satisfied with the ending of the new one, so I kind of wanted there to be a sequel.
You actually wanted this
because it wasn't a good ending.
Yeah,
it wasn't a good ending. So I'm like, okay, well, there better be a sequel now because you didn't end it satisfactory.
Yeah.
So
it's a horror movie. 2019.
Did you see the new Halloween?
No, I did not.
It was pretty good.
I hadn't seen any of them. When it came out, that spurred me to watch the original for the first time.
You haven't seen the original?
I showed it to them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I think it's good.
Well, it's great because you never have to watch any other ones because the new one is a direct sequel to the first one. So.
Yeah, just like Terminator, right?
Oh, boy. That the more I hear and see about that, the less excited I am.
There's like a huge like pile of leaks supposedly came out, right?
I didn't read them. Do me a favor. You read them and you tell me how bad.
Oh, I read them.
Oh, really? No good?
Remember how like the Star Wars leaks came out? It was like just absolutely absurd, like all that stuff.
I remember when the Game of Thrones leaks came out and they were absolutely absurd and then they were all true.
This is about the one coming out, and geez, I guess I just shouldn't say anything.
The new
about
Star
it
Wars?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't read any of those.
Okay, well, I won't say a thing, especially for you listeners out there. But it doesn't sound good.
Doesn't sound
true.
Good? Okay. No.
If they were trying to, like, deconvolute the series, make it a lot more streamlined, then this ain't going to do it.
All right. Well. Bowman, you got anything else, or are we moving into the Child's Play review?
Yeah, I want to talk about the hit new game, NBA 2K19.
I'm a big NBA freak. To anyone who knows me out there, I'm NBA nut.
Well, did you buy the NBA 2K18 when it was on sale for like $3?
No.
I saw that. That was
because those games have been ruined in the last year or two with they're nothing but like microtransactions now.
Well, how would you like to pay $60 for a game and watch advertisements that you cannot skip?
Like Pepsi Man?
Well, actually, it's going to advertise Snowfall.
I don't know what that is.
Is that a new movie?
Never heard of it.
This time it's Yep.
It's a movie? How do the advertisements play? Is like just a commercial that plays in between loading screens?
I think it's in the loading screens possibly, but people on Twitter are like blowing up. Why did I get an unskippable ad in my game? I didn't pay for that. NBA 2K19 has unskippable ads for games now. That explains the $3 price from earlier. Hey, NBA 2K19, putting unskippable ads on a game we already paid money for is the kind of BS that'll make people stop buying.
This is EA, right? No, they have NBA Live.
Yeah, it's just not. No.
Sega 2K series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that series has really been going downhill for the last while.
I kind of wanted to buy the $3 on Switch, but then I just didn't.
I don't know if the last game that came out was like, it was a mess. It was just nothing but microtransactions from what I heard.
Well, I mean, you look at that and there's like all these currency cards you can buy for
right,
it,
exactly.
And there's like a gold edition that was like a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah.
If they wanted to like subtly incorporate like some sort of product placement that's kind of like, what's the term for like music that's actually taking place in a scene, like diegetic music? Do you know?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
But in the course of a game, because I'm thinking back to like ESPN 2K5, that was like all ESPN themed. Like you had the halftime show,
right?
And the presentation was all laid out like you were watching a broadcast. Mm-hmm. So if they had like going into a timeout that was called or something like that, like this broadcast is brought to you by, you know, a quick flash across the screen, just to like that sort of immersion, like you're watching a broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the extent to what these people are describing. It sounds like almost like 15-30 second ad that they just got to stomach through before gameplay can resume. I don't know.
It was a loud
Sorry,
guy
a very
out
loud
there.
Motorcycle.
Motorbike.
Out motorbike or something.
He's a cool guy. He's a really cool guy.
Cool rider.
Yeah, it sounds like shit. And that's one good thing that I will say about like social media and the mob mentality is that this stuff never lasts long.
It gets beat up pretty quick.
Yeah, they're going to release a patch within a very short amount of time that's going to get rid of that, I'm sure. Because, yeah, people won't put up with it, and then they throw a riot, and then they end up changing it. So, it's garbage. Got anything else?
Nope.
I'm itching for that Child's Play review.
Let's talk about it.
So, we saw Child's Play today. What did you think of it?
I don't know. I'm still processing my full opinion about it because...
Your computer chip still processing?
It's very... It's... I want to say it's a bad movie because it definitely was a bad movie and is, but... I guess I didn't know what to expect from it, and it was written. I was whispering this to Pat during the movie.
Trailers were misled it for sure.
It made it, the trailers made it seem like a super dark, like Chucky movie, like almost too dark with no comedy to it, and that was kind of why I was just like,
But that's how the first one was.
Which,
anyway.
It was like that too, but which was fine, but. Then it ended up being like a Goosebumps episode. It's like my best way of describing it.
Yeah, it was, both in tone and just in
writing,
the quality of the
story,
writing.
The characters, like very comic book-like characters throughout the movie.
Very two-dimensional.
Yeah. So.
I'm thinking about it. I can't think of any characters that actually grew.
No.
Yeah.
I guess Chucky.
Yeah. Yeah, he developed.
He developed.
He developed into evil.
Yes.
But yeah, it's, boy, this thing was something else. So the trailer misled.
But I mean,
well,
I guess we'll put it out there. There will be spoilers in this review. So,
I mean, I feel sorry for you if you're concerned about spoilers of the Child's Play reboot.
Well,
yeah, I watched the RLM review today.
Oh, did you?
We're going to watch that later.
And the spoilers did not stop me.
Yeah, this, so, basically, well, so for a little background, me and Bowman are huge, well, at least I am, and I know he likes the series. This was, like, one of my favorite series growing up.
Yeah, one through three, even Bride of Chucky, like, one through four.
Yeah, the first four, for whatever reason, I didn't like the third one that much. It was my least favorite.
It's the most forgettable out of all of them.
I don't even think so, though. Two is... the worst by far.
Well, it had like no budget.
Right. And that's what's weird is as a kid, I didn't like three. And I don't know if it was because they changed the lead actor or whatever, but three is really the best sequel. It's like got the most set pieces. It's got the most changes in like the story and stuff and new characters and like a cool setting and whatnot. It's definitely the best of the sequels. In my mind, but it was always my least favorite, and especially you got like the like theme park at the end and stuff.
Yeah,
like, that's really cool.
Yeah,
so I'm a big fan of the series, and immediately this movie rubbed me the wrong way, knowing that it's not a serial killer who has possessed the doll. It is instead just a. It's so the movie opens in like a sweatshop in Vietnam, and it is a disgruntled employee.
Too much Mario time.
Yeah,
he's
a disgruntled employee who gets fired, and somehow none of it makes any sense. This whole movie doesn't make any sense, but they're in a sweatshop factory, and for whatever reason, this factory who is assembling the dolls also has access to the chip and the coding of the chip. So like he has the
chip. Well, that was that guy's job apparently, was to make sure the chips were good.
They wouldn't do that. They would already programmed and then sent to the factory.
I'm not saying what reality would do. That's what the scene was.
Right. So the guy is like apparently programming one doll at a time at his computer, and he's got all the code up, and he gets fired. So his solution is to shut down all of the main
safety
features of the doll.
Yeah, turned off the violence prohibitive thing, so because for some reason that was in the code.
Why should there be any violence to prohibit in the first place?
I don't understand. Yeah, that was. Like, but as it happening, like Pat and I were both groaning, just
and laughing.
Yeah,
and laughing. And so anyway, he sends the doll. They send the doll off, and also what's funny is that apparently turning all that stuff off like broke the doll. So he's like beep beep beep. He's like, "Hi, my name is Chucky.
Wanna be best friends?"
Yeah, the entire movie because he got his code messed with.
Well, it kind of starts off that way. He doesn't always act like that.
True.
But, yeah.
So right off the bat, it eliminates a lot of the human aspect of it because in the original movie, the guy was an actual like killer and he was a bad guy and he had like a vendetta list of people that he wanted to kill. And Instead, the main focus of this of Chucky in this movie is just that he wants to be friends with Andy, and he wants to just no matter what, and that involves like if someone hurts him or is mean to him or gets in the way of them palling around, he kills them.
Which honestly, I kind of was like, you know what? That's not a terrible, could have been worse. It's not a terrible idea.
Could have been worse.
Yeah,
he was essentially like a weird like Frankenstein.
Yeah,
type of deal.
I kind of, I'll be honest, like the movie was terrible, but I kind of liked Chucky.
The Chucky was the least
yeah,
like, issue with my, least like of my issues with it.
It has enough going on of its own ideas that it could have just been its own property.
Absolutely, absolutely, and it has nothing to do. This the worst part of this movie. Was that it was named Child's Play.
Well, yeah, because like you mentioned with the, you know, voodoo guy in there, like that makes it 100 times more interesting because it's not just a piece of metal
mm-hmm.
getting knocked around. It's some,
yeah,
like human in there potentially feeling everything.
Just, right.
Like the shit torn out of him.
Yeah.
Well, it's important to point out that this thing right away is not inanimate and it's already a robot walking around. So it's all, the problem that I had with it was that it was already trying to be creepy.
Yeah.
And then in the original movies, the reason why they're so great is because like it's such an innocent looking doll. And those dolls were popular back then, like mm-hmm. dolls like that.
Yeah. It's an inanimate object that doesn't move and stuff other than it blinks and talks. Where in this movie, the dolls will walk around and like do stuff.
And it's like obvious that they're trying to make it as creepy as possible.
So
which was so forced.
I mean, I'm not gonna go through the whole story, but
yeah.
This movie had so many problems and I think the main problem was the tone. Like we said, the trailers misled it and misled us, and it made it seem like it was a serious horror movie. But once the kills start, it's like very clearly, I kept saying it reminded me of Leprechaun.
Yeah.
Or Krampus, where a guy gets killed by getting like run into a meat grinder type deal. I'm not going to spoil the kill, but like he gets ground up and his scalp shoots out of it and falls on top of a garden gnome. And, like, this is the garden gnome has, like, a bloody wig on.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of shit that was happening, where it was, like, very, like, slapstick.
Well, yeah.
They're like, story of Ricky territory.
Yeah.
Very multiple moments like that. Like, yeah, Chucky gives the kid a gift of the one of the dead bodies or whatever, and it's, like, really comedic looking and everything.
Yeah.
It's meant to be. Like, the audience was laughing. Like, it was very clear that I don't think the director, like, was that stupid that he thought that looked scary.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was meant to be a comedic
characters were terrible.
Comedy horror movie.
The characters were terrible.
Yeah, I wish we said they're very 2D.
What's her face? What's her name?
God.
Audrey Plaza?
Audrey Plaza.
There we go.
Very clearly just took her character from Community, or Parks and Rec, I mean, and just wrote it into
that's what they cast her
the
for.
The movie.
That's what they cast her for.
She was just really, like, sarcastic, dry, and that's fine, but it was, yeah, like I said, all the characters are so two-dimensional. It was an issue. The kids were an issue. It's like a bunch of teenagers, literally teenagers, like hanging around. Oh shit! Look at that doll. Like,
look at that cat.
Yeah. Oh, there was a cat.
Oh no! Don't say that.
There was a cat.
There was a cat.
Looked like Bowman's cat.
It did look like my cat.
What's your final verdict here on the Child's Play?
I think if you walk into it knowing that it's going to be like a slapstick movie like this, I think there is potential to get some enjoyment out of it. It's a bad movie. I think what's going to happen to this movie is everybody's going to forget about it within a few years.
Yeah.
It's completely forgettable. I feel like there were pieces in there that could have been a really cool thing. As I said, I actually liked Chucky towards the end of the movie and actually kind of liked Mark Hamill's performance of Chucky later on. You kind of felt bad for Chucky at certain parts,
yes.
And they did a good job with that, which was surprising.
Well, that's another issue I was actually going to bring up, is that Chucky in this movie is more likable than everybody that he kills.
Yes.
And that was a big flaw of this movie, is it was almost like they were afraid of, first of all, these people just clearly don't know how to write a horror movie, because you're supposed to not want the people to die that the killer kills. You're supposed to like the character, so you care when they die.
There's no tension at that point.
Well, and in this movie, everyone that he kills is like a total creepy scumbag. Like the first guy he kills literally is like physically abusing a kid,
yeah,
and cheating on his wife and family and just a scumbag. Another guy that he kills is a creep who has like hidden cameras set up in people's bathrooms and stuff. Like all these terrible people, just total scumbags. That's who he's killing. So it's like, oh, okay, whatever. Like this is a bad guy. These are just bad people killing each other.
Yeah.
You don't feel anything. And yeah, I mean, like I said, 2D characters. So you think if you go in expecting a trash movie, you might like it?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. If they didn't call this Child's Play and also they marketed it like just a stupid movie, I could see myself liking it. I didn't want to leave. It was just it was laughably dumb. That's the biggest problem. It was really dumb. So on that note, what are you guys? You guys playing anything?
I'm playing Persona 5 right now, but
how far are you in it?
Not far. I'm only on I just discovered the second palace, so I'm just like in the beginnings of the museum right now in the second palace.
Okay.
So I mean, I'm sucked into it, but I'm in the Persona 5 phase where they're just grabbing your nuts constantly and I'm like, all right, I want to do this, and they're like, can't do that yet. Can't do this. Mm. It's just like, no, we can't do that yet. Can't do that. And meanwhile, the doctor's like texting me being like, hey, you should come in for a procedure. And I'm like, I want to.
Yeah.
So I'm just stuck in the beginning phases of Persona 5.
Okay. What about you, Mike?
Yeah.
I might start my second run through of Resident Evil 2.
Well, I mean, it's still you mean the other story, or
yeah.
Or you did both already?
No, I didn't do both.
And you're okay. Still in it then. You gotta do all that stuff.
It's a totally different story.
Yeah. So that's what I meant. I liked it.
I loved both of those games quite a bit.
I'm just itching to play Mario Maker 2. It's almost out. We got about like 4 days until it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
A few days. Yeah, like 5 days. But yeah, it's already in my system.
Nice.
Can't play it.
Build your own game too.
Yeah, man.
Cool. Yeah, I'm just playing. Started Bloodstained, and I'm also been wrapping up Katamari Damacy Reroll.
Oh, cool.
So you got that right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I have it.
Did you finish it?
No, not yet. No.
It's good, but I mean it's Katamari.
I played the original. Yeah, I played both. The first two games.
Yeah.
Only thing I think I already said it before in another episode, but I wish that had the original English dub in it.
Right.
The English dub is great.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Well, on that note, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And hope you listen again real soon. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google, Stitcher, Podbean. You can get us on analogoutmedia.com. You can email me topics or just chat with me. analogoutpodcast@gmail.com.
Are you on Twitter?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at ProjectPat88. And got anything to say, people? Say something.
Hope everyone's having a great week. Try to come back when I can.
Have a good week, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Log out.